Advent series about the ugly Christmas sweaters, and now that we're like into the worship portion of it, like I do feel like I'm so distracting wearing this thing, and I'd rather just kind of melt into the background here. But hey, that's what ugly Christmas sweaters are for, to bring attention to ourselves. The problem with Christmas season is that our thoughts, our words, our motives, and our actions can be just as ugly as our Christmas sweaters. Sometimes we can just really be nasty people to one another. So we started off with ugly thoughts. Ugly thoughts can become ugly words. And we said, well, if we can stop it at the thought part, then maybe our words part won't come out and we won't do damage to other people and damage relationships. Now, today we're going to talk about ugly motives. Ugly motives. We can have the right action, we can do the right thing, but have the wrong heart behind it, the wrong motive behind that. We can do the right thing for the wrong reasons, right? I mean, that's we can do the right thing for the wrong, but also we can do the wrong thing sometimes for the right reasons. Like, man, I didn't mean to do that, but here's what I meant for that to happen, or how that should have gone. But motives are all about the big why. Why do you do what you do? Actions are the what. We know what you do, but only you can really know why you do the things that you do. Now, the what, we're going to talk about that next week. Ugly actions. That'll be how we wrap up the series, with ugly actions. So you kind of see how that goes. Thoughts to words, motives to actions. That's kind of how we're progressing through here. So why do we do what we do, whether the good things that we do or the bad things that we do? And motives are the answer to the question, why? Why do we do those things? Now, I might be alone in this, but I think social media is all about the why. You know, people post things. It's you can kind of see right through the motive on there. The motive is either I want you to be impressed by me, or I want you to feel sorry for me, or I'm just going to break out the big spoon and stir the pot. You know, like there is that. You know, basically everything else on social media is stir the pot. But honestly, if I ever post anything about my kids, my garden, the sweet lines in my yard, you know I'm bragging. Okay, that's just me bragging. Now I'm just being honest with you. I didn't say it's right, but that's usually just the motives that we have. I've shared this story before. This is just a motive story. I caught myself on it. Actually, it wasn't until after the fact that I caught myself on it. But so I was downstairs working in the Play Cafe, and the Play Cafe is open, you know, all week long, not just on Sunday mornings. Back before COVID, we used to have people around all the time. You know, we'd get tons of people around. And the trash can fills up, you know, when you got lots of people around. The trash can's full. I'm like, probably ought to change the trash. Yeah. So I went to the back of the room and got a new trash line. And I'm looking around like, oh, the floor needs swept a little bit. And then I was like, these people need to see that their pastor is a humble servant leader. They need to know that there is no job too lowly for the pastor of this church. So I swept with flair, you know, and then you know, put it in the dump, you know, dump that in the trash, and then take the trash out and set it to the side, and then, you know, like get the bag, new bag open so everybody can see how humble I am. And then I was like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. This is not what it's meant to be. That's motives. That's motives. Yeah, the trash needed to be taken out. Look, the floor needed to be swept. But who's it about then? It was about me and how humble I am, so everybody could see it. We all make decisions in our lives based on different motivations. It's important to pay attention to our own heart, to ourselves. Why am I doing the thing that I am doing? Why am I about to step into this? Because if we don't pay attention to those things, then our blessing for others can result in only focusing on ourselves. I meant to serve you but really, I just brought attention to myself. The mark of a follower of Jesus is someone who is motivated by love to bring honor and glory to Jesus and to show love to other people. It's really all we're meant to do. We're not supposed to point to self. And we're tempted by our sinful nature to put ourselves first, but that can be overcome by the power of the Spirit and the example of Jesus. Jesus paid close attention to motives. In fact, most of the time throughout the Scripture, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where we see Jesus working, he's talking about the heart behind the issue. He almost always brings it back to a heart level. What's your motivation? Why are you following this law? Is it just to check the box to follow the law, or are you doing it motivated by a heart of love? He knew that motives are our deep-seated heart issue. Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are the Sermon on the Mount. So I've selected a couple verses from Matthew chapter 6. It talks about hypocrisy and motivation. I'm going to bounce around. It's like Matthew 6, verses 1 and 2, then verse 5, and verse 16. It says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them." In other words, shaking the trash bag so everybody can see how humble you are. "Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full." Jesus is speaking to people who are focused too much on the living the law, the outward perspective, the outward appearance of it, looking righteous in front of others. Their passion to look spiritual was more important than actually having a healthy spirituality, because at least everybody else thinks that I'm spiritual. I worked with a pastor one time who would always say this: we need to be in the office until 4 p.m. because we need to have the appearance of being open. He'd always say, "We need to have the appearance of being open." I'm like, "Aren't we open? Or are we just appearing to be open? Because if we're just appearing to be open, I'm not going to be here. I'm not sticking around. I don't have enough work to do till 4 o'clock. How about I go be with people and interact with them?" And the appearance is something we tend to look for. How many of us, I was going to say, how many of us struggle with this now? Let's go back to when we were kids. When you were a kid and you could hear, you remember the arguments with your siblings and parents. You don't have them now. Before church, getting ready to go to church, the frustration, the struggle, the anger that happens before church, just trying to get out the door and into the car and on the way, and then you get to church and everything's great. We have the appearance of a perfect, happy Christian family, and the reality behind it is we're struggling. We have a hard time. What's the heart behind the action? Jesus' issue was not with the actions themselves. Fasting is good. Praying is good. Giving is good. It's why you're doing it and how you're doing those things. Jesus was interested in the motive behind the action. What's the heart behind the action? Because, here's the first point, we can do the right things for the wrong reasons. We can do the right things for the wrong reasons. Ugly motives can take our witness as believers and throw them right into the, the Red Kettle Salvation Army can. Clink. Everybody knows that I just gave. Clink, clink, clink. Everybody knows. Actually, I wish they could get a little swiper so we could swipe our credit card. I never have change. Who uses cash? Anyway, that way everybody could see me swipe for Salvation Army. There's tons of opportunities to serve and give and meet needs this time of year, but if our motivation is only so that we can be seen or heard by other people, that's it for your reward. That's it. That's all the reward that we're going to receive. Jesus says, praise from humanity is the full reward that we will get when that is our goal. And it seems then that Jesus is kind of telling us there's a greater reward. There's more to it than just having the praise of humanity. Rather than getting applause or Facebook likes or Instagram hearts or what do they have on Snapchat that you can like? I don't have Snapchat. Do they have that on Snapchat, like where you can like something? Or Sean, you know. I don't know. Somebody have Snapchat? Don't admit to it. I know you're not allowed. Yeah, Anna, what do they have? Oh, you, what? You can't. Well, then that's the best one. Then we should all be like Snapchat. No. But instead of gaining the applause of men through those particular things, or for people actually saying to you, so wonderful how you changed the trash can and nobody asked you, which is what I was looking for that day, how humble you are. Instead of going through those, there's a value far, far greater, far more valuable than that is the humility developed in your character by doing it anonymously. Doing the right thing for the wrong reason can cost us our ability to grow into the person that God has created us to be. The way Jesus came to us at Christmas, lowering himself to be a human, not just that, but being born in a stable to an unwed mother, it gives us inspiration for living a life with the right motives. Luke chapter 2. Verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them anywhere else. If anybody deserves praise for their humble action, it would be the God of the universe coming down into the lowly estate of humanity just to rescue us. Not only that, the specific way he came is important. Not in a castle, not in a temple to be worshipped. He was out of sight, out of mind, in a manger. We assume animals were around, and all the things that animals create while they're around. Like, this is a humble beginning. Jesus' motivation for coming in the form of a human was not for recognition, at least not yet. We all know we'll recognize him later. But his motivation was love. Love for us. Love for the human race. And so Jesus set the example and invited us to follow his lead. Jesus is our motivation. That's the whole point why we do what we do, is Jesus. Ugly Christmas sweaters are designed to do one thing, and one thing only. Look at me. Draw attention to me. Which is why I kind of want to peel this thing off. So you don't see just the sweater. They draw attention to ourselves. But when Jesus is our motivation, the deep desire within us changes so that we want to draw attention to him. When we serve others, it becomes easy to say that we're serving because he served us. When we love others, it becomes easy to say we're doing this because Jesus loved me first. We take the spotlight off of ourselves, we place it right on Jesus, the true hero. He is our motive. He's the reason why we do the things that we do. I went to Licking County Christian Academy. Go Eagles! Woohoo! Over in Heath. Yeah, you can laugh. We're laughable people. This thing was ingrained in us, though. We had to memorize scripture verses. I'll give you two of them. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily for the Lord and not for men. That's like NIV. Let me give you one in KJV, which is what we learned, the good old King James. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whithersoever ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it all for the glory of God. I have that one ingrained in me because I was like, eat for the glory of God? Heck yeah, man. I'm in. I'll do it. I love that. No matter what you do, do it for the glory of God. I use that particular scripture with our youth groups when I was a youth pastor because teenagers can tend towards apathy. You know, it's kind of, that's not so cool. I don't want to do that. So we had a rule, the 100% rule, based on that scripture. Whether you're eating your snack or drinking your pop or playing this game or we're doing a lesson, whatever it is you do, do it all, 100%, as if you're doing it for God. I suppose the way I framed it then, these days that would be a microaggression against introverted people, but I didn't know any better at the time. Like, come on, guys, you can do it. Get out there. But we ought to have that as our motivation. Think if we spent our lives like, I'm doing this thing that I'm about to do, whether it's taking out the trash or sweeping up the floor or picking up the tablecloths after church or whatever it is, this menial task, I'm doing this because I'm trying to bring honor to God. And suddenly it makes everything holy. Suddenly it means I'm putting this stuff into the dryer, not so that we have dry clothes, and not angrily because nobody else is going to do this around my house. I'm doing this as service to God because this is my holy task that I have before me right now. When Jesus is our motive, we point not to ourselves to impress other people, but we're here to honor Jesus. We're here to honor one person, and it's not us. He is our motive. He is our reward for doing things for the right reasons. No more ugly motives. This Christmas, we allow Jesus to guide our words, our actions, no matter how tempted we are to bring it back to me. Because it's not a competition. We have competitions on that stuff. One reason we fight ugly motives is because we find ourselves in competitions with other people. They go, hey, they're getting more attention than me. Let me bring it over here. I've found myself a little bit last night. We had a Sarah's up here, so I guess I'll confess to my daughter. She's up there. So last night we had family gathering for Christmas with Bethany's mom's side of the family. And there's just tons of cousins and everything. And it's a gathering I enjoy every year. Almost said I didn't enjoy it, which would be more true. But I was sitting with the uncles and everybody, and one of the cousins said, come downstairs, like our generation is all downstairs. And so I went down there, and like it was my environment. I'm like telling stories, and I'm making people laugh, and like, yeah, man, this is it right here. And then I realized, like, what am I doing? I'm just bringing it all here. Let me start asking questions about other people. But I made Sarah laugh multiple times, and I'm all about making Sarah laugh, telling stories and stuff. But I had the wrong motivation of what I was trying to do, what I should be about doing, which is pointing to other people and to Christ. Okay, that was a confessional. It's not a competition. Rivalry is a mentality of the world, and it has no place in the heart of Christians, and yet it can become a core motivation. There's some of us who are competitively minded, and so we always are look on the outlook, how can I win? How can I have a win here? How can I one-up somebody else? There's no place in that in the scripture, and yet it drives us, especially in American culture, to win is huge. Paul talks about this mentality in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. So apparently rivalry and competition have been around since the beginning. It's not new in the church. It finds its roots way back when Paul was talking about it. Paul knew that the desire to one-up and be first would be the undoing of all that Jesus came to do and to establish in the hearts of his kingdom. The same is true for us today. We're not in competition with one another. Instead, we ought to cheer one another on. Cheer one another on and push each other forward out of love. That's one thing I really value about my kids. They run cross country. There is very little rivalry in cross country. People are there to just cheer all the kids on. And it's very different from the other team sports that I've observed where, when kids grew up playing basketball, and even within the team, there was rivalry and competition for playing time, who's going to start. The parents are bickering about the coach. There's always just this angst going on amongst the team. When we got to cross country, there's parents from other schools cheering for my kids because they just want the best for them. And it was a whole new world. I'm like, this is the way it ought to be. I'm cheering for all of these kids. You can do this. You can make it to the finish line. Do your best. And it's just a wonderful switch from what culture normally teaches us. Now, I suppose at the top, the top five maybe, there might be a little rivalry and competition. I'll probably never know because we don't have that in my house. Maybe, Sarah, one day. Well, she gave me thumbs down. We want the best for all of them, and that's the point. We want it for all of us because when I'm motivated to honor Jesus first and honor others around me second, it's the only way that we all win. So we all win when we are looking for Jesus first and honoring others second. And then we put ourselves down lower on the list. It's not just about us. We're not in competition with one another. Instead, we ought to cheer one another on. So let's stop living as ugly Christmas sweaters with ugly motives focused only on ourselves. This week, I want to challenge you to be a secret servant agent. All right, kind of playing on words there, but a secret servant agent. Last week, we challenged you to serve somebody with your words. Be an encouragement to somebody using words. This week, choose one person to do something kind as a way of honoring Jesus and honoring them. Do something kind for somebody. But here's the key. It needs to be anonymous. You're not going to tell them that you're doing it. You're not going to tell anybody else. Whatever way you choose to bless that person, just go do it. Don't let them know it was you. And allow your motivation to simply be to serve Jesus and honor that person. Maybe send them a letter, send them a card, a gift card, have dinner delivered, a gift on the doorstep, meet a need, whatever it is that God leads you to do, you go do that thing, but do it anonymously. And as you're doing it, remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive because you're not going to receive any reward from humanity about it. I don't even want you to tell me about it. Just go do it. And if you do report back, only tell me what blessing you got out of it. I don't want to know what you did or who you did it for. This is a way to challenge your selfish motivations through selfless acts of love. So this Christmas, our reward is becoming more like the person that God designed us to be, a person that brings honor to God, and give selflessly to others. Let's pray. God, thank you that you have patience with us, even in the midst of ugly motivations that can cause harm to others, that can bring glory to self rather than glory to you. We ask, Lord, as we wrap up our Christmas season here and head towards the actual day, that these last few weeks that we have, help us to have good motives. Help us to think through why we're doing what we're doing. Help us to practice these things so that we just end up becoming more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Help be with us as we navigate that and figure out the motivations that we have. And may they be from you. In Jesus' name, amen.